Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
I want to twist it up. Reading from sixth canto, which is called Prescribed Duties for Mankind. Chapter 1, The History of the Life of Ajamila. Text number 10. I want to twist it up. Just, yeah, like this. Yes. Yeah. The verse is on the board. Quacin nivartate patrat.
Quacin nivartate patrat.
Quacin nivartate patrat.
Quacin nivartate patrat.
Quacit charati tatpuna.
Quacit charati tatpuna.
Quacit charati tatpuna.
Quacit charati tatpuna.
Prayaschittam ato partam.
Prayaschittam ato partam.
Prayaschittam ato partam. Manye kunjara shochavat.
Manye kunjara shochavat.
Manye kunjara shochavat.
Manye kunjara shochavat.
Quacin nivartate patrat.
Quacin nivartate patrat.
Quacit charati
tatpuna. Quacit charati tatpuna.
Prayaschittam ato partam.
Prayaschittam ato partam.
Manye kunjara shochavat. Quacin nivartate patrat.
Quacin nivartate patrat.
Quacit charati
tatpuna. Quacit charati tatpuna.
Prayaschittam ato partam.
Prayaschittam
ato partam. Manye kunjara shochavat.
Manye kunjara shochavat.
Please chant.
Quacin nivartate patrat.
Quacin
charati tatpuna.
Sometimes nivartate ceases abhadrat from sinful activity. Kvachit sometimes charati commits tat that sinful activity. Puna again. Prayaschittam. The process of atonement. Arto. Therefore. Apartam. Useless. Manye, I consider Kunjarasho Chabat exactly like the bathing of an elephant. Translation: sometimes one who is very alert so as not to commit sinful acts is victimized by sinful life again. I therefore consider this process of repeated sinning and atoning to be useless. It is like the bathing of an elephant, for an elephant cleanses itself by taking a full bath, but then throws dust over its head and body as soon as it returns to the land. There's a short purport. When Parikshit Maharaj inquired how a human being could be free, could free himself from sinful activities so as not to be forced to go to hellish planetary systems after death, Shukadev Goswami answered that the process of counteracting sinful life is atonement. In this way, Shukadev Goswami tested the intelligence of Maharaj Parikshit, who passed the examination by refusing to accept this process as genuine. Now Maharaj Parikshit is expecting another answer from his spiritual master, Shukadev Goswami. I want to read the chapter summary. Chapter 1, The History of the Life of Ajamila. Throughout Srimad Bhagavatam, there are descriptions of 10 subject matters, including creation, subsequent creation, and the planetary systems. Shukadev Goswami, the speaker of Srimad Bhagavatam, has already described creation, subsequent creation, and the planetary systems in the 3rd, 4th, and 5th cantos. Now, in this 6th canto, which consists of 19 chapters, he will describe Poshana, or protection by the Lord. The first chapter relates the history of Ajamila, who was considered a greatly sinful man, but was liberated when the four order carriers of Vishnu came to rescue him from the hands of the order carriers of Yamaraj. A full description of how he was liberated, having been relieved of the reactions of his sinful life, is given in this chapter. Sinful activities are painful both in this life and in the next. We should know for certain that the cause of all painful life is sinful action. On the path of fruitive work, one certainly commits sinful activities, and therefore, according to the considerations of Karmakanda, different types of atonement are recommended. Such methods of atonement, however, do not free one from ignorance, which is the root of sinful life. Subsequently, one is prone to commit sinful activities even after atonement, which is therefore inadequate for purification. On the path of speculative knowledge, jnana, one becomes free from sinful life by understanding things as they are. Therefore, the acquirement of speculative knowledge is also considered a method of atonement. While performing fruitive activities, one can become free from the actions of sinful life through austerity, penance, celibacy, control of the mind and senses, truthfulness, and the practice of mystic yoga. By awakening knowledge, one may also neutralize sinful reactions. Neither of these methods, however, could free one from the tendency to commit sinful activities. By bhakti yoga, one can completely avoid the tendency for sinful life. Other methods are not very feasible. Therefore, the Vedic literatures consider that devotional service is more important than the methods of Karmakanda and Jnanakanda. Only the path of devotional service is auspicious for everyone. Fruitive activities and speculative knowledge cannot independently liberate anyone. But devotional service, independent of karma and jnana, is so potent that one who has fixed his mind at the lotus feet of Krishna is guaranteed not to meet the Yamadutas, the order carriers of Yamaraj, not even in dreams. To prove the strength of devotional service, Shukadeva Goswami describes the history of Ajamila. So the actual story begins on text 21, a little bit further. Om Jnana Timrandasya Gyananjala Shalakaya Chakshuram Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam. I was born in the darkest ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torch of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances unto him. When will Srila Rupa Goswami Prabhupada, who has established within this material world the mission to fulfill the desire of Lord Chaitanya, give me shelter under his lotus feet. Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yudhapana Kamalam Sri Gurun Vaisnavamscha Sri Rupam Sakritatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitamtam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parichana Sitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lilita Sri Visakam Vitamscha. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual master and unto the feet of all Vaishnavas. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of Srila Rupa Goswami, along with his brother, his elder brother, Sanatan Goswami, as well as Raghunath Das, Raghunath Bhatta, Gopal Bhatta, and Srila Jiva Goswami. I offer my respectful obeisances to Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, along with Advaita Acharya, Gadadhara, Srivas, and other associates. I offer my respectful obeisances to Srimati Radharani and Sri Krishna, along with their associates, Sri Lalita and Vishakha. Hey Krishna Karna Sindo, Dinabando Jagatpate, Gopesha Gopika Kanta, Radha Kanta Namostute. Oh my dear Krishna, you are the friend of the distressed and the source of creation. You are the master of the gopis and the lover of Radharani. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Tapta Kanchana Gorangi, Rate Vrindavaneshri, Rishabhanu Suta Devi, Pranamami Hari Priye. I offer my respects to Radharani, whose bodily complexion is like molten gold, and who is the queen of Vrindavan. You are the daughter of King Rishabhanu, and you are very dear to Lord Krishna. Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances unto all the Vaishnava devotees of the Lord. They can fulfill the desires of everyone just like desire trees, and they are full of compassion for the fallen souls. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasri Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. I offer my obeisances to Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vas and all others in the line of devotion. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The transcendental vibration established by the chanting of Hare Krishna is the sublime method for reviving our transcendental consciousness. The word Hare is the form of addressing the energy of the Lord, and the words Krishna and Ram are forms of addressing the Lord himself. Krishna means the all-attractive, and Ram means the supreme pleasure. No other means of spiritual realization is as effective in this age of quarrel and hypocrisy. the verse translation again. Sometimes one who is very alert so as not to commit sinful acts is victimized by sinful life again. I therefore consider this process of repeated sinning and atoning to be useless. It is like the bathing of an elephant, for an elephant cleanses itself by taking a full bath, but then throws dust over its head and body as soon as it returns to the land. Who's speaking? Maharaj Parikshit is speaking. So he asked a question. His question was, how can human beings be saved from hell? At the end of the fifth canto, we were hearing all these vivid descriptions of hellish planets, and hopefully we got a little bit scared. And now Maharaj Parikshit is saying, how can we get saved from this hell? Because, well, I don't know about you, but my life has not been so pure. For sure, I committed sinful activities. And when I was a new devotee, I asked, oh, I committed so many sins. What's going to happen? Is there a way to get out of it? We see that children often do something naughty and try and get away with it. They try and do as much as they can get away with. And even adults do things thinking that they can get away with it. Example, a man goes into a shop and steals a bar of chocolate. It's not necessary to steal a bar of chocolate, but if he thinks he can get away with it, he will take this chocolate. So let me look at my notes. How do we know what is sin? What is sinful? How do we know it's wrong? There are three ways to know if something's wrong. It was mentioned in the last verse. The government makes laws, and people who don't stick to the law, they get arrested by the police and they get punished. Either they get a fine or they get put in jail. So we kind of basically know the laws. You stop at a red light, you don't take it if it doesn't belong to you. We kind of all know these things. Another way we can know is that we are rebuked by people in general. If there's a queue for Mahaprasadam and you go to the front of the queue and then all the people say, line, line, then you kind of get the idea you're supposed to stand in the line, especially if there are these chains in front, then you kind of know you're not supposed to crawl through the chains. And there is karma for pushing in the queue. You can guess what it is. You have to go to the back next time, they all push in front of you. And the third way of knowing something's wrong is hearing from scriptures, hearing from the sadhus, from the saintly persons. So many things we learn from Srila Prabhupada. And even, for example, when I was living in Radhadesh, I was giving guided tours to the tourists, and then when we were on the roof, I would discuss with them different things. And I would say, in the Bible, there are 10 rules, 10 commandments. And I asked them, do you know these? Because they're Christians, these tourists. Then they'd try and name the 10 commandments. They'd say things like, thou shalt not kill, and not steal. And one group of 30 people couldn't even remember more than 5. And the Belgians, they have a little rhyme, so it's easier for them to remember. Heilig steeds de dag des Heeren, vader, moeder, zult gij eren. So this means, you keep the day of the Lord holy, and you honor your mother and father. But because it rhymes, it's easier to remember. So this group, they named all 10 commandments. And I said, who follows all 10? And they just laughed. I was thinking, but this is their own religion. I said, it's easier for us. We have only 4 rules. So we know what's wrong. So how sin works is, the man who goes into the shop to steal the bar of chocolate, 2 things happen. There's punishment, for sure, but sometimes it's delayed. They might not look at the video until the next day, the CCTV. Or they might not recognize him until the next time he comes into the shop. Or they might not even get him at all this life. But he will get punishment either in this life or in the next. And the other thing that happens is, there's a little seed gets planted in the heart, which is the tendency to sin again. Well, I got away with it yesterday. No one's around. Let me try. Take 2 things. and then another seed is planted in the heart. So this is why a criminal, example, even after going to prison, which is horrible, when he comes out, does it again, whatever his job is. I lived next door to a burglar, and he wasn't there very often. Most of the time he was in prison. Nice man, but he said he was a tradesman. But that's the only thing he knew, how to steal from people's houses. And sometimes he would come out of prison and he'd say, no, I'm going to change. I'm going to give up my intoxication. My life will change. And he really meant it, but then later on he starts doing it all again. Someone who's trying to give up smoking knows that it's bad for you. It's written on the packet. In big letters that smoking kills or it's harmful to your health. But still it's so hard to give up. Or if someone who was an ex-alcoholic walks past a place that brings back memories and then he gets this desire to drink again. These are the seeds of the sinful desire which are planted in the heart. So Maharaj Pariksit's question was, how can we avoid going to hell? And Shukadeva Goswami says, well, if you get rid of all your sin, if you atone, then you won't have to go to hell. And Maharaj Pariksit was saying in the last verse and this one, but that doesn't work. It gets rid of your sins, but it doesn't get rid of this tendency to sin again. Arjuna asked the same question in Bhagavad Gita. You remember Arjuna's question? Arjuna said, O descendant of Rishni, by what is one impelled to sinful acts, even unwillingly, as if engaged by force? What was Krishna's answer? The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, it is lust only, Arjuna, which is born of contact with the material mode of passion. It's contact with the modes, and later transformed into wrath, and which is the all-devouring sinful enemy of this world. Lust is, I want to enjoy my senses. I'm the boss. I want to be the boss. I want to be the controller, and I want to enjoy. This is the problem. So then, now in this chapter, Shukadeva Goswami is going to tell a story which he heard from Agastya Muni when he was in the Malaya Hills. It's a story of Ajamil, he gets a near-death experience. And then this kind of shocks him into changing his habits. As a young man, he was nice brahmana. Then he gets into sinful life, and then later, by the mercy of the holy name, he gets saved. So this story is going to be told starting on verse 21, and the story goes for 3 chapters. So atonement gets rid of sinful action, but it doesn't get rid of the tendency to repeat the sin, and it doesn't get rid of the ignorance, which is the cause or the root of sinful life. So what gets rid of the ignorance is transcendental knowledge. I've got this nice book, Bhagavad Gita as it is, by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, founder Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. It's got all the answers in it. This alone is enough to get you home back to Godhead. And in chapter 4, Transcendental Knowledge, it said, Krishna says, nice analogy, as a blazing fire turns firewood to ashes, O Arjuna, so does the fire of knowledge burn to ashes all the reactions of material activities. Not bad, not bad. So knowledge will burn away all the reactions to sinful activities. There are some other things. Oh yeah, what's bad karma? How do you know what's bad karma? Nectar of Devotion listed some things which are considered bad karma. This bad karma is the reactions to your sins. So the sins that we do that we did in our previous life, we suffer for those now. The sins which we do now, we will suffer in the next life. Mature sinful activities are exhibited if one is suffering from some chronic disease, if one is suffering from some legal implications, if one is born in a low and degraded family, or if one is uneducated or very ugly. These are symptoms of bad karma. Now, even if we become a very nice devotee, we can't change the body that we already have. We're stuck with this body until the end of life. Even if we become a saint, still this body, if it's programmed to get this disease and die early, then we can't reprogram it. But the suffering that we can't get rid of suffering. How to get rid of sin? Narada Muni. Narada Muni is saying, this is also a nice analogy. From the body of any person who claps and dances before the deity, showing manifestations of ecstasy, all the birds of sinful activities fly away upwards. So I can imagine it's something like this. In the Skanda Purana, there is the following description of the result of seeing arati, worship of the deity. If someone sees the face of the Lord while arati is going on, he can be relieved of all sinful reactions coming from many, many thousands and millions of years past. He is even excused from the killing of a brahmana. In the Padma Purana. Bye. In the Padma Purana. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the Supreme Lord Krishna, because if someone remembers him, either at the time of death or during his span of life, he becomes freed from all sinful reactions. And the last one? Two more. Prahlad. Maharaj Prahlad. My dear Lord Nrisimha, if I can be elevated to the position of your servant, then it will be possible for me to hear about your activities. You are the supreme friend, the supreme worshipable deities. Your pastimes are transcendental, and simply by hearing about them, of them, one can counteract all his sinful activities. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is the following statement. A person who chants the holy name of Krishna. No, I won't read that one. My dear King, the word Krishna is so auspicious that anyone who chants this holy name immediately gets rid of the resultant actions of sinful activities of many, many births. So karma and jnana don't get rid of these seeds. What gets rid of these seeds of desire is devotional service. So of which, so there are 9 forms of devotional service, of which hearing and chanting are the foremost. So I thought we should hear something from Krishna book. You want to hear something from Krishna book? Yeah? The gopis attracted by the flute. With the arrival of the beautiful autumn season, the waters in the lakes and rivers became as clear as crystal and filled with fragrant lotus flowers, and breezes blew very pleasantly. At that time, Krishna entered the forest of Vrindavan with the cows and cowherd boys. Krishna was very pleased with the atmosphere of the forest, where flowers bloomed and bees and drones hummed very jubilantly, while the birds, trees and plants were all looking very happy. Krishna, tending the cows and accompanied by Sri Balaram and the cowherd boys, began to vibrate his transcendental flute. After hearing the vibration of the flute of Krishna, the gopis in Vrindavan remembered him and began to talk amongst themselves about how nicely Krishna was playing his flute. When the gopis were describing the sweet vibration of Krishna's flute, they also remembered their pastimes with him, and thus their minds became disturbed, and they were unable to describe completely the beautiful vibrations. While discussing the transcendental vibration, they also remember how Krishna dressed, decorated with a peacock feather on his head, just like a dancing actor, and with blue flowers pushed over his ear. His garment glowed yellow gold, and he was garlanded with a Vajrayanti necklace. Dressed in such an attractive way, Krishna filled up the holes of his flute with the nectar emanating from his lips. So they remembered him, entering the forest of Vrindavan, which is always glorified by the footprints of Krishna and his companions. Krishna was very expert in playing the flute, and the gopis were captivated by the sound vibration, which was attractive not only to them, but to all living creatures who heard it. Another gopi expressed her opinion that Krishna and Balaram, while attending the cows, appeared just like actors going to play on a dramatic stage. Krishna was dressed in glowing garments of yellow, Balaram in blue, and they held new twigs of mango tree, peacock feathers, and bunches of flowers in their hands. Dressed with garlands of lotus flowers, they were sometimes singing very sweetly amongst their friends. Even the river Yamuna, being desirous of embracing the lotus feet of Krishna, after hearing the transcendental vibration of his flute, broke her fierce waves to flow very nicely with lotus flowers in her hands, just to present flowers to Mukunda with deep feeling. I bought something to show you in the bucket. Do you want to see what I've got in the bucket? Do we have another mic? Hare Krishna. So what I've got in the bucket is, I'll empty it and show you. The bucket is completely full. This represents my day. It's completely full with activities. These big rocks are in very important activities in Krishna consciousness. And then I've got some small rocks, special Mayapur red rocks. And then I've got the sand, all the other things I do in the day. I showed you what's in it, now I'll put them back in the bucket. wait, stop, the bucket's full, that, but I have to put this in. But the bucket's full, that your day is finished. But what's written on this really important? Chanting? I didn't get my chanting in my day. Oh no, I better phone my mentor. Yeah? Oh, I see. Okay, I'll try that. What my mentor said was, I just entered. So what my mentor said was, my mentor said was, you put the big rocks in first, because they're the most important thing. Oh, I even fitted my chanting into my day. Oh, I fitted everything into my day that I wanted to do. Haribo! It's almost time. Time I am the great destroyer of the world. And I have come here to destroy all people. With the exception of you, the Pandavas, all the soldiers here on both sides will be slain. I see all people rushing full speed into your mouths as moths dash to destruction in a blazing fire. And some I see trapped with heads smashed between your teeth. Crunch, crunch. Heavy class, Mataji. Here's the microphone. Question time. I was first. What do you remember from the class?
The best way of getting rid of our desires to repeat our sinful activities is to take to devotional service rather than trying to atone, because it ultimately doesn't work. It atones us, gets rid of our sins, but doesn't take that desire to sin again.
Dharma Chaitra Prabhu?
You quoted that verse from the fourth chapter. How exactly does knowledge burn away this results of material activities? Maybe
so
can you explain it?
How knowledge burns away all the reactions? So I quoted 436 about the fire of knowledge. In the purple Srila Prabhupada says, perfect knowledge of the self and super self and of their relationship is herein compared to fire. This fire not only burns up all reactions to impious activity, but all reactions to pious activities, turning them to ashes. So when we do devotional service, because all our karma is burned up, then we don't have to take birth again. I understood it like this. Anyone else have a different answer? Supposing you're a very good person and you do something really good, and the reward is that in your next life you'll become a millionaire, but you have to take birth again to get the million. When we do devotional service, one thing is we hear, oh, from Srila Prabhupada, oh, actually you shouldn't eat meat because this, that. Oh, okay, then we stop eating meat. But previously, before I joined ISKCON, I was eating meat. So when I was a new devotee, I said, oh, what about all those sins that I already committed before? And it was Raghunath Das Prabhu. He said, he quoted this verse, 1866. Savadama parichaja mamakam sharanam racha aham tvam savapalpebhyo mokshayishanam asucha. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful actions, reactions. Do not fear. Krishna is promising that he'll take away all our sinful reactions. How he does that, I don't know. I know that he sits in the heart cleaning it with a scrubbing brush. Is that okay? How to surrender to Krishna is mentioned in the purport of this verse. That Srila Prabhupada quotes from the Hari Bhakti Vilas, Anakoya Shasankalpa Pratikola Shavarjanam Rakshesati Divishvaso Gotripe Varanam Dada Atmanik Shepa Karpanye Sadvidam Sharanagati. The six divisions of surrender are, I take in the translation from the CC, Majilila. The six divisions of surrender are acceptance of those things favorable to devotional service, rejection of unfavorable things, the conviction that Krishna will give protection, the acceptance of the Lord as one's guardian or master, full self-surrender and humility. These are described as the six angas of surrender. I was going to give an example of protection. The example of Uttara. Krishna is sitting on his chariot. He's just about to go back to Dwaraka, and Uttara comes running up to him, and she says, "Pahi pahi mahayogin deva deva jagatpate nanya tadabhiham prasheyata mitu parasparam." Oh Lord of Lords, oh Lord of the Universe, you are the greatest of mystics. Please protect me, for there's no one else who can save me from the clutches of death in this world of duality. Uttara is about 16 years old. She's heavily pregnant. Her husband has just been killed. They just had the battle of Kurukshetra. Her brother got killed. Her father got killed. Her uncle got killed. There's no one to look after her. And someone has now fired a fiery iron arrow towards her. It's a Brahmastra. So she runs to Krishna and says, "Save me." And then she says in the next verse, she changes it a little bit. "Oh my Lord, you are all powerful. A fiery iron arrow is coming towards me fast. My Lord, let it burn me personally if you so desire, but please do not let it burn and abort my embryo. Please do me this favor, my Lord." So Krishna, he protects the baby in the womb, and this is a very special baby. He's the last heir of the Pandu dynasty. If he dies, the whole dynasty is finished. All the Pandava sons are all got killed. So this is the grandson, and his name is Parikshit. Okay, thank you for listening. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.